Well, John Hockenberry is out today, so I'm joined in studio by our good friend Patrick Henry Bass. He's not only a takeaway contributor, but books editor at Essence Magazine. Good morning, Patrick.
Buongiorno.
As we've been talking about this morning, the country's the national debt. You can watch the national debt clock. It'll literally make your head spin as it goes up. And at some point, we have to deal with it. So like it or not, we're all going to have to make some sacrifices. And our question to you is, what kind of sacrifices would you be willing to make in order to cut the national debt?
Unlimited terms for my representative and senator. But I think we might be able to see tough cuts made, since the primary objective in D.C. would no longer be the partisan politics of getting reelected.
That was John Manrique in Palm Beach, Florida. We want you to give us your take by calling 877-8-MY-TAKE or leave a comment at our website, thetakeaway.org. What did you say you were going to
give? I was going to give a popcorn, and I'm now going to add butter along with that.
What were you going to do, add the butter without the popcorn? Well, we have another story coming out of Minneapolis, which you probably won't hear about many other places.
The song says, "We remember all those who walked," and everybody kind of dances around and celebrating that a little bit. It goes, "Way, way, way, oh, hey."
While we're talking about sacrifices, this story has a particular resonance. This week, descendants of the Dakota people will walk 150 miles through southern Minnesota to remember the 1,700 people, Dakota people, who were forced to march to concentration camps as punishment for an uprising against white settlers. Their people died of starvation and disease, and the survivors were scattered to all the four corners of the Midwest. And the fallout from that winter still felt today. Allison Herrera is with us. She's a reporter with KFAI Radio in Minnesota, and she spent some time with the marchers this week. Good morning, Allison.
Good morning.
It has been how long since this march, the original march?
Well, in 2012, the original march began, the reenactment of the march began in 2002, and the Dakota people do it every 2 years to honor those who walked. And in 2012, it will be the 150th anniversary of the march that took place in 1862.
So explain to us exactly what happened here. The Dakota people rose up, started what they thought would be a revolution against white settlers in 1862 in Minnesota.
It kind of goes back. I mean, in August of that year, August 18th of 1862 to be exact, a band of Dakota people attacked a family of white settlers because they didn't have such a great crop that year. The government payment that they had been relying upon was late, and their people were starving. So this one particular band came across a white family, and they asked for some eggs. They asked for a little bit of food to share, and the white settler said no. This woman said no, and they killed the family, and that they knew that they would never that would act would not go unpunished. So they sort of rallied a lot of support from the other bands to make war against the white people, and then it goes back even further to 1851 in the signing the treaty of the Traverse des Sioux that the Eastern Dakota tribes entered into with the federal government, which basically they signed away most of the use of their land in exchange for government payments and some plots of land to farm on. And that just didn't work out so well.
Well, and you spoke with Chris Matonunpa. He's a professor of Indigenous Nations and Dakota Studies at Minnesota State University. He went on this march, and you can hear when he talks about it how this becomes a kind of a complicated personal journey for those who do this 150-mile walk.
It is. When I was coming down the route that leading to New Ulm, I had this feeling where I wanted to cry, and then also this urge to go to the bathroom, and I didn't know what that was all about until the last night when I was thinking about some of the stuff that happened yesterday. Then I realized probably what it was is that one of my friends, who's now deceased, but he had a grandmother's on this trip. One of the grandmothers was murdered. She was shot. And her sin was wanting to go to the bathroom in the woods. And she wanted to do it for modesty's sake. She didn't want to do it right out in the open.
Allison, it sounds to me like he's conflicted over what exactly the meaning of the march is himself. I mean, although he's obviously doing it to honor his ancestors, he doesn't seem to have settled on what it means.
Well, I wouldn't completely agree with that. I think he goes on this march to honor his ancestors and to honor his grandmother. He in that quote he says that he has a friend whose grandmother was on the march. And while I asked him, you know, while you're walking, what do you feel when you're, you know, walking on some of the same roads that some of these people were walking on? And he said he felt like this incredible sense of emotion, and he wanted to cry, and he felt all kinds of different things. I mean, his mother was an oral historian, and she heard the stories from her grandmother, who heard the stories from her grandmother about what happened to people on this march.
I want to play another clip that from someone you spoke with, Gabrielle, who helped organize the march, and then I want to ask you about the actual purpose of it. Here's what she has to say.
We have the quality of life that average mainstream Americans enjoy. I mean, I'm not asking, you know, for mansions. I'm asking for humane medical care, mental health care, education, a means for economic development. We were put in places where they thought we would die and vanish, but we haven't, and we're not going to. There is a future.
That sounds, Allison, like there's also a protest component to this march.
Well, exactly. I mean, just, you know, she is talking about all of the fallout that's happened from this march, from the 1862 uprising, that they still suffer today, and the effects are still being felt from many Dakota.
Well, when you're talking about sacrifices, a 150-mile walk to honor your ancestors seems like a pretty big one. That's Allison Herrera, reporter at KFAI in Minneapolis, Minnesota. She's talking about a 150-mile march that the Dakota people make every year in Minnesota in order to honor the ancestors who made that march by force in 1862. Way oh hey oh way hey oh, hey oh. My name
NYC Now delivers the most up-to-date local news from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. With 3 updates a day, listeners get breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from across New York City. By sponsoring programming like NYC Now, you'll reach our community of dedicated listeners with premium messaging and an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to get in touch and find out more.